And I believe she's going to have a co-presenter who will introduce herself as well.
Yeah, we're going to switch things up. We're going to do a tag team presentation here. Amanda is with me. She can introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Amanda Woodall. I'm the policy manager from the Active Transportation Alliance, and my role is to provide technical assistance to county health departments who are partnering with local municipalities to advance complete streets policies and other transportation policies that promote walking, biking, and transit.
Thanks. That's why I asked her to join me. So I don't have any relationships to disclose.
And neither do I.
All right. So we're here to talk about the public health role in Complete Streets initiatives across the country. I've worked with people from Maine to Hawaii on public health and transportation issues. I've worked with Amanda in Cook County, and she's continued to do great work there. So we're really drawing from our experience and what we think are best practices to engage those two communities in pursuing safe multimodal streets. Both of us feel that the policy systems environment change model is really effective when it comes to complete streets. PSE is the paradigm that we should be working in with public health. Where you live impacts how you live. And we want to make sure that the healthy choices are those that are the easy, accessible ones. And when it comes to transportation, that means that it's easy and safe and fun to be out walking and biking and getting around without a car sometimes. Complete Streets fits really well into that. The first thing, obviously, is the policy document, which is the P in PSE, policy. So that fit really great. The systems is sort of changing the way that an organization or system works, and that is the hard part in Complete Streets, and I think that's what a lot of our discussion is going to be around, is how public health can really dig in there. And then, of course, at the end, you would hope that after changing the systems and how we develop our streets, you get nicer streets for people to be walking and biking on.
So one of the big questions that seems to come up, at least in my work with public health professionals, is what role can people really play in shaping the way that the built environment looks? This is sort of a diagram of sort of all the different stakeholders and all the different decision makers that you find involved in, you know, who decides what our streets actually look like. And we find that public health professionals have a very unique role because you're not yet embedded in this system anywhere. These are all the people who are making all the decisions, and you are in a unique position to carry a message to all of these people. And just since I don't think anybody's really said it so far, I'm just going to go ahead and say this is the message. This is a little bit long, but here we go. We know that obesity-related diseases are overtaking tobacco use and many other health factors as a major crisis in the United States. We know that adults need at least 20 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity every day in order to stay healthy and prevent obesity-related diseases. We know that walking and biking for one short trip per day is a built-in opportunity for people to be able to do that, but people will not choose to do that if they don't have walkable, bikeable, safe communities to live in. You can have a community that has the best healthcare, the most vibrant job centers, great affordable housing, wonderful access to nutrition, healthy food, museums, cultural institutions, sports stadiums, everything, all of those great things. But the question is, how do those things really improve health and quality of life for the people who live there if they cannot access those places safely and in a way that supports their health? That is the message that public health professionals are in a unique position to carry when you go to interact and engage with all of these stakeholders. Complete streets are streets that can be safely accessed, crossed, traveled along and upon by all people, regardless of their age, ability, or travel mode. And a complete streets policy is a commitment by a jurisdiction to routinely accommodate all of those users in all of their roadway projects whenever feasible. So that's the message that we carry. Sorry, just want to make sure that. Here's the next slide.
Yeah. So you want to take that message beyond just the policy statement, of course. You want to continue working with everyone through the process and get embedded within it and eventually become part of the machine. Hopefully a better one, I guess. Right, so public health, in my experience, has been really great at convening all of these groups that we've already heard about, which is nice because I don't have to name them now. bringing together all these stakeholders who are not usually engaged is a great way to just reveal that they need to be engaged and that we're not accommodating their needs and we're not making a community that is for everyone. So they've been really great at like having workshops, training events. It's a nice, easy role to start making those relationships and making them stronger. Just invite people to come and see what happens. Another great thing that public health can do is crunch data, not only to inform what needs to be done, but to measure what is happening out there currently and after projects. Transportation has a number of measures that it uses to make sure that we're investing properly, but I would say that most of them don't look at anything beyond automobiles in most communities. And they certainly don't look at health or quality of life for people, and those are activities that are new to them, so a little bit scary, and they're not sure how to do it, and public health knows how to do it, so it'd be really easy for them to create a partnership and say, hey, we can give you this data, and we can show you what's happening out there. And that's happening in several communities, but I'd like to see it in a lot more. Let's see. It also humanizes complete streets. I think a lot of times when we're looking at transportation projects, we're looking at it in terms of numbers and very removed from what people's lives are actually like. And public health is great at bringing that back in and showing how this actually impacts people. Like, this sidewalk means that 50 people will now be able to walk to the bus stop. Like, that's not a number that we normally look at. And that's a really important thing to think about. So that's a great role for public health. And, of course, ensuring that equity is at the table and is discussed, both in terms of access to community resources, as well as making sure that these projects are happening in the places in your communities that are low income, that are minority, where you don't have people coming out all the time complaining about things because they have different work schedules or they're not used to that kind of method of public engagement. So public health is really great at making sure that we are including equity consistently in our transportation decisions. And now here's the hard thing to realize is that there is no right or single path for complete street success in a community. It's not like tobacco or other initiatives where you can pass a law and then things change. Sure, you can have a model ordinance for complete streets and you can put that in there. That doesn't mean that your transportation department is actually going to follow it. And it hasn't meant that transportation is actually follow it. In several places, they have had lawsuits, and that's actually made the cities more responsive to these things. But I'd rather not do lawsuits, right? That's, like, not that much fun. And then people can stop asking me about how to do a lawsuit. It's not my role. Yeah, I do. Transportation is a complex system. We have trained professionals who have been long charged with moving automobiles and moving them quickly. So changing that requires more finesse than coming in with a hammer of a new law and expecting them to do something different. So you have to tailor your approach. You need to understand what your community is like, what you're trying to accomplish, and who the key players are before you really get embedded in that system of transportation planning and design. And part of that is recognizing that there's a spectrum of interest in terms of complete streets. There are people who are supportive, who want to do it, and who are doing it, all the way down to people who will come out and say that bicycle lanes are not part of their organization's mission and they are not going to do them. So you need to be aware of where people fall on that spectrum and who those players are.
And so within, you know, that spectrum, you have your cast of decision makers. This is a slightly more organized way of looking at it. Most of those decision makers come into two, sometimes three categories. So it's local officials, right? It's your mayor, your city manager, board members, people who set policy and decide how it's going to be carried forth. Then you have a public works staff, which usually consists of planners and engineers. In a lot of communities, this also involves private consultants from engineering firms and planning firms, particularly in smaller communities where maybe their whole public work staff is like one guy who's also the fire chief. You'll wind up in a situation where you have the people who are doing the most crucial work that's determining safety and the environment that people are living in a community, and they aren't actually civil servants. They aren't like as beholden. They aren't beholden to taxpayers. They don't have that same stake in the community. And of course, these people all can fall. You know, it's like mix and match. Choose your own adventure. Which you know combination of people under you know this spectrum of interest are you going to wind up with when you walk into a community to try to talk about doing complete streets work? So we're going to just talk through a couple different scenarios because most of the people that you find that have worked on complete streets have worked on one policy, which is the policy for the community that they work in or the community that they live in. But Stephanie and I have the opportunity of working with multiple communities, and so we've been able to kind of develop like some strategies for depending on what you get with this like roulette game of interest. So scenario one.
Sure, thanks. So I will also say that these strategies are not crazy.
Disclosure.
There are things that you're probably already used to doing, just not necessarily in this context and without the background of thinking through who you're trying to reach and what messages will fit with what they're doing. So the first scenario is one wherein you have local officials who are psyched about complete streets and ready to adopt a policy and say, this is what our community is doing. And then you have your transportation staff who don't really know that much about it. They haven't been engaged. They were kind of left out of the process in advocating for that policy, maybe, and they're just not sure what this means and how to apply it. And those people are really great and nice, and you should embrace them and bring them to education events. Basically, what you want to do with your education there is focus on their language, speak to them in their terms. Sometimes that means that public health doesn't take the lead role. You convene it, you bring in other experts, other peers in their engineering or planning field to talk to them about how they can accomplish this. You sort of need to focus a little bit more on the technical details. Sometimes that's what trips people up. It's really easy to miss the big picture and just dive right into a very specific detail of, you know, I don't know about this specific piece of ADA accommodation. Okay, well, have someone who can answer that, but who can also still bring us to the bigger picture of, well, all of this is leading us to this, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but these are some strategies that you can use and address some of their concerns, especially around safety and cost, design flexibility. Make sure that you're reinforcing those kinds of messages with them.
And scenario two would be one where you have local officials who are pretty much unaware of complete streets or any of the benefits there. Your public works staff are supportive, forward-thinking, kind of maybe they've, you know, been in touch with some of the newer literature about the, you know, active transportation and how important it is for communities. But then you have consultants who are sort of just dismissive to the whole thing. Again, with consultants, it can be a challenge when they say things like, well, we'll do complete streets, but it's going to take extra time and extra energy, and we charge by the hour. And so if your community really wants to invest in this, you know, so it can be a challenge. And the strategy there when it comes to trying to bring the local officials in is to really talk about all the other benefits, you know, besides the technical aspects. So you want to talk about, you know, obviously you want to talk about community health. You want to talk about how important it is for people to be able to live in, to have like livable choices in order to be able to get out and use active transportation. But you also want to talk about economic benefits. This is something that people aren't always tapped into. If you just Google like bikeability and real estate or walkability and real estate, you're going to find that housing prices, you know, go way higher in communities where people can get around on foot and by bike. This is just sort of, this is a growing trend that continues to move forward. There are tons of fact sheets that talk about this and that talk about how people that are moving to cities that are walkable, bikeable cities, they aren't moving there because it's a big city that's, you know, dirty and crowded and full of people and busy. They're moving there because they can get around, they can raise their families there safely and happily. And public officials tend to really respond to this. You can also talk about the aging population. We know that, and everybody knows that we want kids to be able to walk and bike to school, but you don't want to just talk about that because it sort of marginalizes the issue as only something for children. When you talk about the aging population, you get a much greater response because we know that in 20 years we're going to have more folks in the United States that are over the age of 80 that we've ever had before. And when folks are beyond their driving years, they want to be able to stay in the homes where they've lived for all their lives and raise their children. If they don't have walkable, bikeable streets or access to transit in their neighborhoods, there's a good chance that they're going to leave those communities. Public officials want those citizens to stay, you know, from the cradle to the grave. They want people to stay in their communities, continue to live there, continue to make them vibrant. So these are the kinds of messages. They're not just the same people who show up in, you know, a cycling Lycra kit to shout at a public meeting and say, we should have bike lanes. You know, this is more about tapping into serving all the people that you have. So, and when you can bring the local officials in, the consultants tend to follow because they understand that these are the things that their clients need. So the third scenario can be a little bit more grim, which is where you have local officials who are maybe willing to try, maybe not totally supportive, but interested in hearing what you have to say. But if the public works staff and your consulting staff are just against it, they're going to come forward and say, we are the experts, this is what we do, this is transportation, and we don't support this, then you're faced with having to sort of re-educate everybody, taking them back to the public health issues, taking them back full-fledged re-education. And sometimes that can work. It can be responsive. But, you know, you have to also understand that not everybody can be reached. So you don't want to write people off forever if you find yourself just hitting your head against a brick wall. Maybe go to the next town over, work with somebody nearby, and get a little spirit of competition between the two communities. Try and keep it positive. But as a public health official, you definitely, you know, don't want to walk in not knowing that this can happen. So we definitely want to provide you guys with the heads up on that. Anything else to add to strategy three?
No. Okay. Be aware that it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And don't get discouraged by it.
I mean, I think we've even had a situation where there's a county government that I'm working with, McHenry County in Illinois, where the county health department's working with municipalities on complete streets. But they go to a county board meeting, and there's actually a public official who stands up and says, well, biking is only for people who have DUIs. And so we don't need to have that in our community. We don't need to have people like that in our community. They can just, this is like public official at a public meeting saying this. You know, it's really hard. You have to wait till that person is voted out of office. You know, you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do. Anyway, is this taking us to the end?
I think so.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, that's the end.
That's the end. Oh, wait, one more thing that I do have to say is that my work is, it takes place under the Illinois Department of Public Health's We Choose Health grant program, which is funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions? You mean as like the specific kinds of changes that you can look for and push for in within the code?
And the public health department that's been involved in that process before, so
right.
We're outsiders in that. But
well,
you would advise,
I mean, So there are a number of things that you can look for, you know, on a technical level, things like, you know, like the requirement of sidewalks on streets. Smaller lot size means that, you know, people have more, you know, walkable distance between different locations. Mixed use, sort of getting away. I mean, there's sort of like a whole list of big principles that you can go for. I would say the most important thing for you, though, is not to say, well, we're public health, we've never done this before. I think that there's a good chance that if you take the time to, you know, read the fact sheets and get through sort of the basic principles, you might wind up being the most knowledgeable person in the room about any of it, and you're not a transportation person, you're not a planner, you know. So that's the first advice I would give, is just, like, empower yourself to learn as much about what other communities are doing as possible. I know our organization, Active Transportation Alliance, we have a fact sheet on zoning. You can access it at the website atpolicy.org, atpolicy.org. And it's just sort of like the most glossed over version of what you can look for in, you know, how zoning code can improve, you know, walkable, bikeable communities. And feel free, you can also contact me directly through that site, and I can, you know, send you some more stuff for sure.